at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. For Education Matters here on WGTD-HD, I'm your host, Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening.
You have been listening to Education Matters, heard every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. Click on Talk.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. Today, it's summer, and to celebrate the season, we are going to hear from our Miss Brooks, Fibber McGee and Molly, and of course, it's the Professor. These shows were written by Steve Brown and Mike Ostrup and feature stars from the 91.1 Players. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, and also the not-for-profit Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin. And now, it's summer.
Are you awake? You're going to be late for work.
I'm on my way down, Mrs. Davis. Boy, I am on my way down. Well, here I am, all ready for my new job at the Java Joe.
Aren't you running a little late, Connie? Don't they open at 6?
Yes, they do. But I was told to come in at 7 so they could get the store opened and most of the rush hour over before they start my training. Like I don't know how to pour a cup of coffee.
Speaking of coffee, did you want a cup before you leave? Yeah, I don't know, Connie. People like all sorts of special orders for their coffees these days.
Yes, please. I need something to get jump-started before I get to the store. And you're right about all these special orders these days.
Oh, here you go. Whatever happened to just a good cup of coffee with maybe a little sugar or a little cream?
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Davis. I'll tell you, it's this self-absorbed, my way or the highway attitude of our spoiled youth. I see it every day at school. Everything has to be done to their exact specification and done in an entertaining, multimedia fashion, or they go into some kind of delirious funk and wind up in counseling.
I put out some coffee cake for you, Connie. Just have a little something to eat. Who knows when you'll get a break? Now, why did you take this job again?
Well, thanks for the cake. Just a small piece. Well, the school board did cancel summer school this year due to budget cuts. I could get by without the money, but that car of mine can't. Oh, to be honest, Mrs. Davis, I'm looking forward to the change of pace. I only have to work mornings. A few mornings a week, I get my afternoons free. The pay is not bad. And it won't be the same old English classes, listening to the voters of tomorrow, struggling with the difference between subject and object pronouns, conjugating verbs, and mistaking adjectives for adverbs. I won't even begin to talk about the so-called papers that get turned in to me. Oh, I need to dash. I have to be at the store to punch in.
See you at lunch.
So, Connie, all you have to do is take the orders and punch them into the register. The orders then display at the barista station for the baristas to prepare.
I don't have to fix the coffee, Brittany.
No, Connie, you don't. This way is more efficient. We have one person handle the orders, and then the baristas, which is the more complex job, make the coffees. Connie, do you remember that I had you for English 11?
Yes, Brittany. I do remember you in my class.
Well, in spite of those bad grades you gave me, here, I am your boss. Isn't life weird, Connie? Me and some friends are meeting later for dinner. Wait till they hear this one.
Some friends and I.
Hmm?
Just correcting your grammar. Sorry. Just an old habit correcting your grammar.
Hey, Miss Brooks. You're working here this summer?
Well, good morning, Walter. Good morning, Harriet. What can I get for you two?
We just came in for some coffee and a donut.
Two black coffee?
Room for cream for me, Miss Brooks.
And I'd like a skinny latte, Miss Brooks.
You just press the latte button and then the skim milk button.
Yes, I know, Brittany. That'll be $4.59.
I also wanted a donut.
Sure. Are you sure about that?
Well, yeah, Miss Brooks. I'd like a chocolate donut. And I promised Harriet she could have a donut with pink frosting.
We don't have donuts. We have some delicious coffee cake, though.
Well, I really wanted the donuts.
That's right, Brittany. He really wanted a donut. And besides, I completed the order in the cash register.
But we really should make sure that the customer gets everything he or she wants. We need to make the order as large as possible. We have some great scones there. Those are sort of like donuts.
I don't know.
A scone sounds good. I'll have one of those.
Are you sure? You really wanted that donut with pink frosting.
She wants the scone. Ring up two scones.
But I'm not sure.
I'll ring it up. That'll be $6.79. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Nice seeing you, Miss Brooks.
Bye, Miss Brooks.
Bye, kids.
Listen, I have to take care of some things in the back. Can you handle things up here, Connie?
Yes, Brittany. I can handle pushing little buttons after that wonderful training of yours. Thank you. Maybe I don't want to know what happens to my students after they graduate, when they turn out like her. At least she shut herself up in the office. Oh, great. Look what the cat dragged in. Well, Daisy Enright, what brings you out on a day like this? I thought your kind avoided sunlight and garlic.
Always the jokester, Connie. I just had to see if it was true that you were working here this summer. The word is all over town.
Oh, yes. I'm working here at Java Joe's. It was either this or working the corner up the block. And I heard you had already taken that job. Would you like a cup of coffee? I imagine that you won't want anything to eat, given that diet you should be on.
I'll have a skinny soy latte with a dash of whipped cream and chocolate sprinkle.
Oh, that sounds skinny, all right.
And a piece of that gluten-free coffee cake.
Oh, Mr. Boynton.
Mr. Boynton, how nice to see you this morning.
Oh, good morning, Miss Brooks. And Miss Enright, I didn't expect to see you here.
Yes, she does pop up unexpectedly. Oh, this summer certainly is agreeing with you, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, it certainly is. You must have been out in the sun.
Well, I guess I did get some sun when I was doing some work around the yard.
Oh, but wasn't it hot in that sun, Mr. Boynton?
Yes, it was, but I took off my shirt and a slight breeze felt good.
Oh, Mr. Boynton.
Scale it back, Miss Enright. You'll set off the heat detectors. So, Mr. Boynton, what can I get for you this fine morning?
I heard that you were working here this summer, and I thought I'd stop in and say hi and get a small black coffee.
How about a slice of carrot cake on the house?
as tempting as that is, Miss Brooks, I have to pass. Don't want to put on too much weight over the summer.
Oh, with being as active as you are, I'm sure that you are in great shape.
Well, I know that you're in great shape, Mr. Boynton.
Well, thanks. But a small black coffee will be fine for today. Maybe another time for that piece of carrot cake.
I'm here every morning this summer. Maybe you could come by at 11 o'clock and we could share that cake.
Oh, but Miss Brooks, why would he want a dried out piece of store-bought cake when he could visit me and have a piece of carrot cake baked by me personally?
Said the spider to the fly.
Well, I do need to be going.
Oh, certainly, Mr. Boynton. Don't let me hold you up. That'll be $1.29. Thank you, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I'll walk out with you, Mr. Boynton.
She would pull that last stunt.
You know what?
Just when he... I don't know what to think.
You know what, Miss Brooks? I will have that piece of carrot cake after all, but I insist on paying for it myself.
Well, if you insist, that'll be $2.19.
Why, thank you, Miss Brooks.
Yes. See you around, Miss Brooks.
Have a wonderful day, Mr. Boynton. You too, Miss Enright. Oh, yes. Schadenfreude. I win, she loses. And speaking of things foreign...
Bonjour, Miss Brooks.
And a good morning to you, Mr. Monet. Out collaborating this morning?
I am not sure what you mean, Miss Brooks, but I would like a cup of coffee, sugar, please. I'm on the way to the airport to catch a flight to Paris. I'm spending the summer on the French Alps.
The word is please. And would you like a black coffee?
Oh, no, never. I cannot tolerate that hot brown water that you Americans drink. I must have an espresso.
Oh, one espresso coming up. Something to eat? Perhaps a croissant.
Mais non. You Americans saw such big croissants. No wonder you are so fat.
Better a fat stomach than a fat mouth. That'll be $1.59. Have a nice flight. And do be careful in the Alps. I would hate to see you break a leg and not be able to get back.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. Have a nice day.
I need to warn the TSA about him. I think he may need a thorough search.
Connie, I heard you offer Mr. Boynton a carrot cake on the house. You are not authorized to make those kinds of decisions. Only I, the crew chief, am authorized to make such large decisions.
Oh, please, Brittany. It was a piece of overly frosted carrot cake that was no doubt sitting there since last night. And besides, Mr. Boynton bought the cake in the end. I was just trying to move this merchandise out the door so you wouldn't be faced with making another large decision, like what to throw in the dumpster.
Well, I never.
Oh, bother. It's not like we're curing cancer here. And my joy continues. Good morning, Principal Conklin. Nice to see you this morning.
Yes, Miss Brooks, I heard you were working here this summer. You couldn't find some other work other than standing in behind back of a counter taking orders and asking if they'd like a scone with that?
There's nothing wrong with honest work, Mr. Conklin. And it is a change of pace from the usual testing and test score analysis that teaching has become.
Those test scores are important, Miss Brooks. They are the only way we have of making sure that our students are achieving and that you teachers are doing your jobs, Miss Brooks.
Too much of anything is a bad thing, Mr. Conklin. We take too much time testing and not teaching.
Miss Brooks, the state, the school board, the superintendent, and your principal all think testing is important. Is that clear?
Yes, Mr. Conklin. Now, could I offer you a cup of coffee?
Well, yes, you could, but also came by to ask you something.
Oh?
Well, it seems like the school board may have been a bit rash to cancel the entire school session this year. There seems to be some state requirement that certain students must be offered summer classes.
Really? And you want...
I really would appreciate it if you could, come back and teach English this summer.
Well, I'd like to help you out, Mr. Conklin, but I did make this commitment to Java Jones.
Oh, I am aware that you gave your word to work here this summer, but the students really need you, Miss Brooks.
Oh, yes, the students. And here I only have to work mornings.
I'm sure we can figure out a schedule to accommodate your needs, Miss Brooks.
Well, since you put it that way, Mr. Conklin, I'll do it. For the students, of course.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. See you at 8 tomorrow morning. Oh, that's not too early, is it?
That'll be fine, Mr. Conklin. See you tomorrow. You know, I think I was just getting to like this job, too.
Connie!
Then again, attention shoppers! Free carrot cake for everyone!
And that was Our Miss Brooks, the first installment of our Back to School show. Starring in Our Miss Brooks were Julie Burton, Alex Campia, Todd Eaves, John Alexi, Renee Bouchel, Alexa Eaves, Siegfried Christoph, and Susan Fear. And directing was Vicky Dumais. Barb Tyla was our sound effects director.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Good morning. I'm Harlow Wilcox. Welcome you to this morning's show, written by Steve Brown and Mike Ulstrup. The makers of Johnson Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat present John Alexi as Fibber and Vicky Dumais as Molly.
Go ahead, Harlow. Or should I call you Mr. Wilcox? Go ahead and tell our audience about some Johnson Wax product, since they are made right here in the area in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin.
Okay, Fibber, since you insist.
You know I have to insist, since they do pay my salary. Otherwise, I'd have to open up my hall closet door and check out all my pay stubs to make sure they're still there.
Sure thing, Fibber, but no on the hall closet. Anyway, as I was saying, the other day I read an interesting letter from a talented lady who said she and her husband always listened to Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuesday night. And even here on Saturday morning on the WGTD Radio Theater, they never miss it because it's her husband's favorite radio show. But he's never bought her any Johnson's Wax or self-polishing glow coat. Well, that was hard for me to figure out. My wife never has to ask me if she can buy anything like that. But let me make just one little point about Johnson's glow coat. Forget for a moment all the work it saves your little wife. Forget the compliments she'll get from your friends when they see those gleaming linoleum floors wearing the protective coats of glow coat polish. Remember, Glow Coat needs no rubbing or buffing. It's self-polishing. Try some tomorrow, because you know, Molly always does the same thing in her own home. And Fibber always uses Johnson products on his automobile. They are both such loyal people to Johnson Wax. And speaking of cars, if you know the party who left a 1972 AMC Javelin Coupe, you know, the one with the front end that had what AMC called a twin Venturi look with recessed honeycomb grille and the outboard mounted headlamps, and its matching turn signals were set into the bumper. And don't forget, there's a pair of simulated air scoops on the body hood, and the windshield was raked at 59 degrees for that sporty overall appearance. And yes, it was built right here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Anyway, it was parked right in front of 79 Wistful Vista night before last. So if you know the owner, please have them come over and pick it up.
And why is that, Harlow?
Yes, Mr. Wilcox, by all means, please tell all of us, especially since this program so far seems to be the Harlow Wilcox show.
Well, Molly, because out at the curb looking at it over for the fourth time, or maybe it's the fifth time, and very annoyed about it, are the people. In fact, you too, who happen to live at 79 Wistful Vista. None other than Fibber McGee and Molly.
McGee, that had to be the longest opening to one of our shows in a very long time.
I agree, Molly. Either Brown and Alstrup are just trying to stretch out the time for this morning's program, or there's a reason for such a long, drawn-out opening. Not sure which it is, Molly. Not sure.
Tain't funny, McGee.
What ain't funny?
Not at all.
What ain't funny?
Are you looking at what I see?
Look at this broken-down javelin jalopy still sitting here, Molly. Somebody's got a lot of crust leaving this rusty hunk of busted junk in front of our house.
You know, I wouldn't have known it was an automobile if it didn't have a foxtail on the radial aerial.
That ain't even the aerial. That's the bumper sticking up. What a heap. Every time I kick the crate, something falls off it.
Kick it again. Maybe it'll disintegrate.
You know what I got a no good notion to do? I got a good notion to call the cops.
The cops? Who would you have them arrest? Us?
Why, of course not. They can hide out in the shrubbery here, and whoever abandoned this jalopy and left it when he doesn't come back to pick it up, they can slap the handcuffs on him in the jug, like a gallon of cider. See? Put him in. See?
No, I didn't quite get that.
Well, simple enough. Shall I go through that gyration again?
No, McGee, it'll still sound like a bunch of yimmer-yammer once again.
Nobody's going to get away with leaving a pile of junk like this in front of our house, and... Hey, look who's coming our way. She looks like she's going to speak to us. Oh, I'm not ready for her this morning.
Now, McGee. It's only Abigail Uppington, and she looks like she's on the warpath.
Molly, I think even with all that makeup she wears, the most snooty uppity would even make General Custer retreat.
Now, McGee. Make nice with Abigail. She does have a lot of influence here in town, and Mayor Latrivia would only get even more upset with you.
Well, if it isn't my dear, dear friend Abigail.
Abigail? I'm so used to you calling me Uppy, I don't know what to say.
That's okay, Uppy. Why are you looking so upset this morning?
Oh, the way people drive these days is just awful. I was driving downtown yesterday when I pulled out of a safety zone to make a U-turn. A man banged right into my front bumper with his back fender. My front bumper.
Well, you can't trust a man driver, sis. Try to dry your nail polish and they think you're signaling for a turn.
Well, you should have heard him scream about one little old fender torn off. But I showed him. I just drove on. It's not my car. Anyhow, it's my sister Gertrude.
Oh, my. Will your sister be upset?
Oh, I don't think so. She has another car all safe and sound in her garage, and it's all bright and shiny.
Abigail, why don't you come inside? I just made a fresh pitcher of lemonade. On a hot day like today, it will be nice and relaxing.
Oh, Mrs. McGee, that sounds like a wonderful idea. Maybe I can calm down a bit.
It'll take a lot of lemons to calm down, Uppy.
What?
Oh, nothing, Abigail. McGee was just saying that he's glad we had enough lemons earlier when I made the lemonade.
Well, look who the Johnson Wax cat dragged in.
Why, it's Mr. Wilcox.
Well, how are you, Harlow? I haven't seen you since you stopped by to comment on my shiny floors.
That's right, Abigail, but that's not why I'm here.
And why is that, Waxy?
Well, since you asked...
Here we go. Again.
Did I hear someone mention something about a bright and shiny automobile?
Oh, brother.
Actually, I did, Harlow.
I thought so.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
A few weeks ago, we announced on this show here on WGTD a sensational new labor-saving product, a double-action cleaner with wax polish for automobiles called Johnson's Carnu, spelled C-A-R-N-U. Since then, unsolicited letters have been pouring in from listeners everywhere who say that Johnson's Carnu is even easier to use and gives more wonderful results than they believe possible. Your car shines like a mirror without any hard rubbing. Why, the whole job can be done in an hour. Try it, just like Mrs. Uppington's housing staff, and you'll agree your car looks like new when you use Carnu.
Well, Mr. Wilcox certainly left quickly after that.
I guess he has some more Johnson House calls to make.
I wonder who that could be.
Oh, look who's here. Hi, old-timer.
Hello, Mr. Old-timer.
Hello, dear kid. Hello, daughter. Hello. Hey. Hey, where'd you get the hot rod, Johnny? Looks like you built it yourself.
Oh, no, there's no hot rod. It's just a pile of junk.
Oh, that ain't the way I see it, sonny. It'll never run, I can tell by looking at it. You gotta take them fenders off and drop the spring hanger, see? Then you tack a pair of chrome jets on the back end, hook up twin pipes to the intake, and soup up...
Hey, cut it out. This is just a pile of junk. Hey, where'd you get all that hot rod talk? You been hanging and running with the kids at the high school crowd over there at Bradford?
Oh, I still drag race now and then, Johnny. Used to drive in all the big races when I was younger.
Did you really, Mr. Oldtimer? I never knew that. Any other races?
Yes, sir. Like I say, I drove some mighty big races in my day. One time I was racing across the state from Kenosha all the way up to La Crosse.
A cross-state race. That must have been exciting way back then.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was going to be tough.
Yeah?
So I hunched down in my seat, fixed my eyes on the white line in the middle of the road, and off I went like a bullet.
You drove by the line, huh?
I never took my eyes off of that line, Johnny, till I wound up 3 days later way over in the Quad Cities.
The Quad Cities? Iowa?
Yup.
My gosh, how could that happen?
Optical illusion, kids. The line in the middle of the road turned out to be a crack in my goggles. So long, Johnny.
I guess Abigail had to leave. Too bad.
How about some more lemonade, dearie?
That would be wonderful. Ah, there goes a good kid. And lucky, too. She knew when she married me that the $2 to buy our marriage, she'd get it back. And she will, too. Boy, I...
Hiya, mister.
Oh, hello there, Teeny. Come in.
Okay. Hey, whose awful-looking car is that out there? Geez, ever creepy old crate. Whose is it, mister? Whose is it?
Well, I don't know who it is. If I did, I'd rub his face into it so deep, he'd have rusty bolts coming out of his ears for a week.
Oh?
Somebody dumped that old heap there and left it, and I've been trying to get rid of it all day.
Oh, boy. I wish me and Willie Toops had that old car. Can we have it, mister? We'll take it, Can we have it,
If you can get that thing out of there, sis, you're welcome to it.
Oh, boy. That's super duper, mister.
What would you and Willie do with it anyway? Build a sand pile in the back seat?
Oh, no. We'd sell it for junk, mister. Willie's uncle is a junk man. He'd pay us plenty for it.
Sell it for junk? Oh, my gosh, I never thought of that. Why, the metal alone ought to be... hey, look, sis, I just thought of something.
Oh, here it comes.
You see, well, it wouldn't be right to let you sell a car that I could sell myself. I mean that, we don't even know who it belongs to, would it?
Why?
Well, if you sold it, just suppose that's the only car the poor guy's got, you see?
Yeah, he's in trouble, isn't he?
Sure. Suppose he needs it, suppose his little children are crying for milk and he hasn't got any way to get to the dairy in west part of Kenosha County.
They deliver?
But how would they know where? Even we don't know the guy. Suppose he comes and he says, "Where's my car?" he says. And I says, "I gave it to Teeny. She sold it for junk to Willie Toop's uncle," I says. Why, the poor guy would be heartbroken.
Gee, mister, you sure tell it sad. I couldn't take that poor man's car, his little children, no milk, his poor little children.
Good, now run along and go play. And
I'll stay till he comes after it, mister. I got a nickel. I'll give it to him for milk for his children.
No. Now that's very sweet of you, Teeny, but, well, you don't have to stick around. You can
I can wait. I'll wait all day. I'll give him my nickel.
Look, sis... That's a very sweet thought, but, well, I got a phone call to make. Here, why don't you take this buck and get down to Andrea's and slug yourself some sodas. Say hello to David for me.
Well, since you put it that way. Okay, thank you, Mr. McGee. And here, this is for you. You'll need this.
Me? What is it?
A business card.
Huh?
Willie Toops' uncle's a junk man. He'll come right over when you call him as soon as I get out of the house. And me and Willie get a cut on all business we throw him. So long, mister.
Why, that little...
McGee, who was at the door? And who was on the telephone?
It was a little teeny at the door. And I just had make a phone call. Nothing too important.
So what did Teeny want?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
McGee, you keep staring out the front window. Has someone come for that old jalopy, I hope?
Not yet, but somebody's going to come for the car, I'm sure.
Good. Who is it?
A junk man, kiddo. A bright idea of mine. That's not only going to unclutter our curb, but also pay us enough cash dough to take us to dinner and a movie, and maybe buy you a new hat for the rest of the summer.
McGee, how wonderful. You think of the most amazing things, eventually, with a little help, I'm sure.
Well, I just happen to have a talent for sharp thinking, kiddo. I was just analyzing the situation, and the guy abandoned the car, so nobody owned it. So suddenly, I just had the...
Well, it's Mayor Latrivia.
Why, Mayor, how are you doing this morning?
I'm just fine, McGee. Molly, how are you?
I'm fine, Mayor.
What brings you here today, Mr. Mayor?
I wanted to drive over to see what all the commotion is over here.
Here? What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean, Latriv?
Look here, McGee. I got a phone call at my office and some wreck of a car out here on your street.
Oh, really? And just why would you take such an interest in that?
It's my job, Mickey.
Especially in electric gear, I'll betcha.
Now, McGee, let's not jump to conclusions.
Yep, I agree.
I'm still a bit confused why you had to drive all the way over here from City Hall to check out that car.
As mayor of this community, it's my duty to listen to complaints and separate the real ones from the stupid ones. And I know which kind this is.
And where does this one sit, Mr. Mayor?
Well, Molly, let's just say that it might be a combination of the two. Real and really stupid.
Well, we'll see just how stupid.
What did you say, McGee?
Oh, nothing.
Mr. Mayor, you look worried. What's wrong?
Say, did I walk here or did I drive?
You drove, Mayor. I saw your car pull up. Parked right over there.
Well, it's gone now, Molly. Let me use your phone to report this to the police.
Oh my gosh! Latriv!
Yeah? What is it?
I told the junk man to take the car to the left of the driveway. I meant to the left as you face the street. He must have taken the wrong car. Oh my gosh!
Mr. Mayor, isn't that where you parked your car?
Wait a minute, Mickey, you little bandit. You mean you sold my car to that junk man? Well, track him down. Get him back. Get a move on, McGee.
Hurry, McGee, before they break it up for junk.
I can't. I don't know where the junkyard is.
Well, what's his name, stupid? Think. Hurry up.
I can't. I don't know his name. I gave his business card back to him. He said it was his only one he had.
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. This is terrible. Where did you get this card, McGee?
Wait a minute. McGee, I think I might have his card in my raincoat. But where did I lay it down?
Well, not sure, Latriv. I never saw it.
Maybe it's in here.
Oh no!
Not the whole closet door!
Get ready! No raincoat in there!
Hey, Teeny! Hey, sis! Come here a minute!
Hiya, mister. What you want, What you want,
Look, sis. Get this. It's important. What's the name of Willie Toop's uncle? The junk man you told me about. What's his name?
Why, mister?
Because he took my car by mistake, little girl. And if I don't get it back, it will cost Mr. McGee $1,000.
Oh, boy. Hey, Willie. Come here a minute. There's a deal cooking. Well, Mr. McGee, let's talk business.
This is Harlow Wilcox, stepping in again for the McGees, and all ready to wrap up this story. And oh yeah, Mayor Latrivia did get his car back, with maybe a few new scratches. But you know, that Johnson's car new will take care of that just fine. Starring in today's episode of Fibber McGee and Molly were John Alexius Fibber, Vicky Dumais as Molly, Terry Myers starred as Little Teeny. Mary Latrivia was played by Siegfried Christoph. The old-timer was Alex Campia, Abigail Uppington was Julie Burton, and I'm Todd Eaves as Harlow Wilcox.
And now, it's the professor.
Two crack, one bam.
West.
Five dots. I'm thirsty. Anyone else thirsty? It's like I'm parched. I don't know why. Maybe I shouldn't be eating all those pretzels. Why do they always put all this salt on them? I think it's so we drink more soda. I swear it's all a conspiracy these days. Someone does something, so you do something else, and they only make more money. It's a conspiracy. Everything is all about more, more, more. Not in the old days. Then it was about getting by with less. We started out poor, taking hand-me-downs, buying used, worked hard to earn everything we bought. Now the kids want everything new right away. They just put it on their credit cards, no waiting, and now, now, now. So, whose turn is it?
North, I know what you mean, Schutze. My husband and I started out with what we got for our wedding and what we found in secondhand store.
That's right. We started out poor. We worked hard. We raised our kids. We gave to the shul. We didn't have anything fancy as schmancy.
And he was cheap?
Flower, where's your mother, Hadassah?
I haven't played in such a long time. Eight crack. She and Dad took Brianna to Marineland.
Way up there? I mean, it's such a long drive way up there. And on such a sunny day, there's so much glare. And of course, that sun is just streaming in the car through the glass. Just makes it hot and stuffy in the car. Then again, the air conditioning does help. But then you have that cold air blowing on you and the noise of that fan. Land sake! It can all make for a very long car ride.
Yeah, well, they made reservations for her to get in the water with the dolphins.
Oi, with those big animals? You know those dolphins. Where are they porpoises? Are big animals, they can kill sharks. I saw it all the time on Flipper. They kill the sharks with their schnozzes. You say it's okay for your daughter to be in the water with those animals. What if they get out of control? I mean, I heard all about those killer whales. And Killa is the right name for them.
Play Chutzi.
East.
In the National League, he and Gomez are
good.
Both inside.
Good. It's the professor.
Hi, Hadassah
Girl draws the
water. Hi, Hadassah. They got you playing Mahjong.
Sure. I love it. Eating, drinking, and playing Mahjong. You can't beat it. You should try sometime. I'll show you how to play.
Maybe later. Want to catch some of the game?
Hi, Irving.
Don't worry. Baseball logs last longer than Mahjong.
Thanks, Irving. I used to go to games at the times when I taught at Marquette. Miller Park was right near the university.
I was always a Yankee fan, but it was easier for us to go to a shot. I mostly... Mets, unless the Shea. So I saw mostly the Mets, unless they would have one of those subway battles when the Yankees would play the Mets.
I try to watch the Brewers here, but it's tough to get the games unless I sign up for one of those packages on cable or the MLB website.
I know. Those packages are expensive.
And Irving's cheap.
Six, bam. You know, I'm thirsty too. It's just such a hot day today. I know we're in Florida and all, and I did grow up in the South, but still, hot is hot no matter what you're used to. Know what I mean? Owen, darling, could you get me a tall iced tea?
Of course, Vivian May. Anything you want.
Oh, thank you, hon. Say, Chutz, would you like something to drink, too?
Flower.
Three crack. Well, thank you, Viv, but I can get it myself.
Six dot.
Oh, nonsense, Chutz. Scott will be happy to get something for you now, won't you, Scott?
I'd do anything for you, Vivian May.
Yes, and you certainly do.
I'll have a glass of Chardonnay.
Coming right up.
Well, what do you know? Mahjong.
Hey, Professor, do you have Netflix?
No, I don't, Irving. And everyone talks about those great shows they have on there, like House of Cards.
I don't know about that, but by math, you got one of those rokas for me. It's sour, looks like a hockey puck, and attaches to my television. Now, I can see all those movies and TV shows from the old days.
Sounds great, Irving.
I saw the show the other day, and it was funny. The show was called When Jews Were Funny. It was all those old comedians like Alan King and Shecky Green and Henny Youngman.
Really? Those guys were great.
They were. I'll tell you one of the jokes they told.
South. Oh, here he goes again. Stop it with the jokes already. I'm tired of hearing the same ones over and over.
Then don't listen. This Jewish mother takes her little boy to the beach one day. The little boy is playing near the water, looks for shells and picking up rocks. Then all of a sudden, this big wave comes up and washes the little boy out to sea. The mother sees this and starts crying and shouting, and she falls on her knees and looks up to heaven and says, "Dear God, please give me back my son, please." All of a sudden, another wave comes in and washes the little boy back into the beach, alive, in front of the mother. The mother, so thankful for having her little boy back, looks down at her son from head to toe, and then looks up to the sky and says, "He had a hat."
Oh, that's a good one, Irving.
Leland, don't encourage him. He'll be telling these jokes all day.
The professor thought it was funny.
Five, bam.
Six, dot.
West.
Three, crack.
North.
Here's your iced tea, Vivian May.
And Mrs. Katzenberg, here is your Chardonnay.
Why, thank you, Owen. Just the way I like it.
I do aim to please.
Oh, yes, you do, sugar.
Thank you, Scott.
Say, Vivian May, how can you get both of these guys here at the same time and then to wait on you and all your friends?
Oh, well, they are just some very nice young men who enjoy my company, that's all. And I do mean enjoy.
So it's all about the bedroom, Vivian May?
Of course not. I do enjoy the company of men, but it's more about being with them, hearing about their plans, giving them advice, just spending time with them. Of course, it doesn't hurt if they're nice to look at.
But come on, Vivian May. Are they younger and you're, well, not?
Hadassah, honey, it's not about age. It's about experience.
9-9. Okay, guys, I got to know.
Ball one outside.
Both of you are dating Vivian May.
Yeah, sure.
And it doesn't bother either of you that you're both here at the same time?
No.
Really?
I don't know about Owen, but for me, I'm just looking to go out with someone who isn't looking to get married, or is always reminding me of her biological clock tick, tick, ticking.
Well, we know Vivian May's clock has stopped.
Well, that may be, but she is just looking for some companionship, some fun, meeting new people, enjoying things as they come up. No pressure. I'm trying to build a career, and worrying about some younger woman who has her checklist that she's always looking at when she's out with me is not what I need right now.
They have checklists?
You have no idea. Women have all these specific things they require in a man before they will even go out on a second date. If you don't measure up within maybe an hour, you'll never see them again.
You know, it was different when I met Mona. We met at a Hanukkah party. She was pretty. I asked her to dance. We did. And the rest is history. Say, you three don't, wind up all together, at the same time sleeping.
No, Irving. Not quite into that. And just between us guys, Vivian May is a lot of fun to be with.
And just between us guys, so is Mona. But don't let her tell Snow I said that.
Tell me what?
Never mind. Hey, I have another joke for you.
From your Netflix show?
No, this one I got from oldjewstellingjokes.com.
Where do you find these things?
I search for this stuff on my Kindle.
And that was The Professor. The stars in The Professor were John Alexi, Vicky Dumay, Terry Meyer, Zeke Kristoff, Renee Bouchel, Kathy Zulke, Alex Campia, and Todd Eve. Special effects by Barb Tyler. The show was directed by Vicky Dumay, and It's the Professor was written by Steve Brown and Mike Ostrup. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah Dumay, Donna McTernan, and also please join us on September 20th. The WGTD Radio Theater will present What Might Have Happened to Baby Jane. Thank you for listening to the WGTD.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. NPR News and Classical Music.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. An Israeli government official says Israel is agreeing to extend a 12-hour ceasefire by another 4 hours. The truce was due to end this hour. The decision comes as Secretary of State John Kerry and his European colleagues urge Palestinians and Israelis to work out a more lasting ceasefire in Gaza. But as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, that's been a difficult mission.
At the U.S. ambassador's residence in Paris, Kerry sat down with his colleagues from Qatar and Turkey, who have some influence with the Palestinian militant group Hamas. Qatar's foreign minister says it's time to end the blockade of Gaza. Kerry says he agrees that Palestinians need to live with, quote, dignity and freedom.
And obviously free from violence. But at the same time, Israelis need to live free from rockets and from tunnels that threaten them.
He says all of his conversations embrace these competing